Nothing like some fresh job growth to help wash away the worry.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning to you. I'm Bob Moon in for Jeremy Hobson. Welcome to the Morning Open, our look at business and the economy as Wall Street starts the day. Before we get to the numbers from Wall Street, here are the ones that really matter at this hour. 117,000. That's the number of jobs the government figures the U.S. economy added in July, and the nation's unemployment rate edged a fraction of a point lower to 9.1%. And yes, that is a sigh of relief you just heard. Where's Wall Street? After big sell-offs in Asia and Europe, the Dow has bounced back 100 points, almost 1%. Same margin for the S&P 500, but the Nasdaq's only up a tiny fraction. So this is just the news Wall Street needed, right? After yesterday's 500-point rout. Or is it? With us live, as he is every Friday at this time, Christopher Lowe, chief economist at FTN Financial. What about it, Chris? Strongest job growth since April. Is this going to be enough to change the mood, you think?
Well, it definitely changes the mood because the mood yesterday was downright recessionary. 117,000 new jobs, that's not great, but it's pretty good. There were 54,000 jobs revised into May and June, and that almost doubled the gains originally reported. And then there were also 40,000 or so government jobs cut, so 154,000 new jobs in the private sector. That's pretty good, too.
But what about the fact that the lower unemployment rate was due largely to folks giving up their hunt for a job?
Well, and that's the sort of deeper underlying meaning here. 117,000 jobs is pretty good. By recent standards, but it's not at all good by historical standards. We're just not doing enough in this economy to pull the unemployment rate down except as people become discouraged. I do think eventually that's going to change, but we have to keep the economy going for another year or so before we get there.
We'll keep our fingers crossed. Chris Lowe at FTN Financial, thanks.
You're welcome. Thank you.
We wondered this morning, what are the chances that what we saw yesterday was fear feeding on itself, a bunch of computers programmed to unload at the first hint of panic? So we've contacted an expert on the subject. Vasant Dhar is a professor at NYU's Stern School of Business. Thanks for joining us.
You're welcome.
So does the huge amount of computerized trading on Wall Street make these sell-offs worse? What's to prevent these programs from trading against each other and just creating a cascade?
Well, that can certainly happen, although there's no evidence to suggest that that's what happened yesterday. In fact, it could just be human-initiated.
But aren't these computers trained to, you know, program to trade against fear?
The truth is that there's a really huge diversity of programs out there. When one of them senses a selling opportunity, another might sense a buying opportunity. So very often, they actually can provide liquidity and stability to the marketplace, as strange as it might sound. On the other hand, what can happen sometimes, you know, probably what happened in the flash crash in May of last year, is that many of these players sense that there's something going on and they pull out of the market, and so the liquidity vanishes. What you get is moves that are exacerbated by, you know, the absence of liquidity as opposed to sort of programs trading against each other and the effect cascading.
Vasant Dhar is a professor at NYU's Stern School of Business. Thanks for your insights.
You're welcome.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Allianz, providing investment, insurance, and retirement solutions through its affiliated companies in the U.S. since 1896. AllianzUSA.com. By Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. And by Reputation.com, protecting online privacy by removing your personal data from the Internet and stopping unwanted email. Reputation.com.
Today, as they do every Friday, cattlemen across Oklahoma are bringing their animals to auction. This year, though, a nearly year-long drought is forcing a record number of animals onto the auction block. From KOSU in Oklahoma City, Michael Cross reports.
The sun rises over a sea of cattle at the Elk City Livestock Auction. More than 4,000 animals await the public sale, which will take nearly 24 hours to complete. Charles Hickey is the owner of the Elk City sale barn. He's auctioning off more cattle than ever before. The drought has caused the price of hay to spike, and many ranchers can't afford to maintain large herds.
They can save a little money and put something together maybe for down the road. The sad thing is there's a lot of these guys here that's older guys that's not going to be back. 80-year-old guys, and he sells his herd, and he won't ever own another cow probably.
There is some good news, though. The price of cattle has never been higher during a drought. Scott DeWald is the executive vice president of the Cattlemen's Association. He credits several different reasons for the higher price. First off, southeastern states like Georgia, Mississippi, and Florida are coming out of a severe drought with the lowest population of livestock since 1952. Many ranchers there are trying to replenish their herds. There's also been a 27% increase in beef exports, especially to Asian markets like China and Japan.
Probably the big driver is the value of the U.S. dollar. When the value of the U.S. dollar is low, it's cheaper for them to buy our product than maybe from Australia or somewhere else. So the value of the dollar plays a huge role in that.
Western Oklahoma rancher Will Street is participating in his third auction this year. He's shrinking his herd to about 25 from an average of about 70. He says for now, he's going to take what he can and try to survive with the young heifers he still has in stock.
It'll be a while before you get a calf from them, but it looks like the drought's going to hang on for a while.
Climatologists say the drought might not come to an end until fall unless there's a perfectly positioned tropical storm to bring much-needed rain. In Oklahoma City, I'm Michael Cross for Marketplace.
Finally, can you believe this? There's a bank that's going to start charging customers to hang on to their money. The Bank of New York Mellon deals with big financial institutions, so we're talking deposits, of more than $50 million. But has it really gotten so bad that banks can actually charge deposit fees? They say they can't make money on the money. I've got some space under my mattress, if you're interested. I'm Bob Moon in Los Angeles. Hey, it's Friday, and this is the Marketplace Morning Report.
Covering the economy is a 24/7, 365 kind of thing. So every Friday, we get a little help from our friends.
We were sinking fast, and we had no idea whether the world was coming to an end or not.
Oil goes high enough, people stop driving, they stop buying cars, they stop going out to eat.
There are bumps in the road, but consumers are starting to feel better.
I'm Kai Rizdahl, the Weekly Wrap, next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.